Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. Do your own bloody intro if you don't like it. Pete Donaldson with you. We're joined by Luke Moore. Luke, we are in the same room.
We are.
And we are. I'm enjoying your cords. I'm enjoying your hoodie. I'm enjoying
Thanks.
Your swollen ankle.
Thank you very much. They said it couldn't be done.
What? Your ankle swelling.
Here we are back in the same room again. And are you really enjoying all this stuff about me, or have you just forgotten what it's like?
I've forgotten what it's like. I've forgotten what the smells are like. I've forgotten what you look like sometimes. It's all very exciting. I'm getting like an oral kind of... It's an assault, Luke. It's an assault on me.
Is it like meeting me again for the first time?
It is. I've got to really think about whether I like what I'm seeing or not, or I've just been kind of like... I've just been kind of... what do you call it when you're kind of... You fall in love with your captor.
Oh, it's the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. I think it might be a little bit of that as well. So, yeah.
You'd be an ideal person to kidnap then, because you just say, look, he doesn't know what Stockholm Syndrome is. So he's not even going to notice it.
No, he'll be like, he won't know that this has happened before. He'll just be like, oh, my captor.
Do you see me as a captor?
Yeah, he won't let me free.
But if you were on your own, you're a bit like a domesticated pet. You'd last a very short amount of time on your own in the wild, I think, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean...
You wouldn't know what to do.
I've had a poorly tum-tum all morning, and you, my friend, are also in the wars.
Yes, so we are in the wars for different reasons. I trod in a pothole.
Right.
I rolled my ankle. The most hated of all the injuries, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, an ankle. My dad didn't even know that about me. He didn't even know that. And he sent me a picture of a UFC fighter doing a kick and breaking his leg. And just flopping about. Him trying to stand on his leg and going, whoa, what's happened? My leg's not there no more.
It wasn't quite that dramatic for me.
No. A pothole's kind of called pots because they're like the shape and size of a normal pot.
Don't know. And this, I actually thought about this on the way in. I thought, on the Luke and Pete show, Pete's going to ask me about my ankle. Mm. And I'm going to say I trod in the pothole.
Oh, sorry, I'm so predictive.
No, it's all right.
Predictable.
And I wondered to myself, actually, a pothole's something you get in the road, really. This is more of a rabbit warren.
Right, you fell in a rabbit, right, that's fair.
Yeah, but it was only very small.
So where there's blame, there's a claim. Look, potholes, you can't blame any particular car, but rabbits, that's a rabbit's house.
That's true. I shouldn't have even been there. I shouldn't have even been interfering.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it was I was 2 hours away from the car.
Right.
So I had to hobble all the way back.
That's ideal, isn't it?
But I've riced ever since.
Yeah.
Do you know about rice?
Rest. Igneous rock.
Yep.
Cheese.
Yep.
And eggs.
Correct.
It's a delicious omelette.
It's an ankle omelette. It's an anklet, and I have used it, and it's made me feel a lot better. No, it's
good.
Rest, ice, compression, elevation.
Nice. Okay.
No, rice. So I'm good. Anyway, talk about your stomach, because I believe there are plenty of people listening to this show right now. As soon as they hear talk of the stomach, they're going to be like, oh, Donnie's been on the Chinese again.
Donnie's been on the Chinese. Well, the Chinese time it was old pizza. Day old pizza, put it in the microwave, and then just ate a roast dinner right afterwards. It's not ideal. Like, I can hear it going now. I can hear it gurgling away.
It's like you are trying to create the perfect conditions for a stomach upset.
I just,
I'm gonna go, that's what I would do. I'd go, old food, get that down me, follow it straight up with a roast dinner, probably have a little dance but after.
But it's an Italian, I'll have half a glass of red wine and I'll maybe have a mouthful of toothpaste with it as well.
Ooh. Have I told you the story about the old, so I've got one friend who's a big wine connoisseur, and I've got another friend who just likes getting pissed all the time but has no interest really in wine.
Yeah.
Right.
Guess which one I'm going to warm to the most.
Yeah. Well, my friend who isn't into the wine went to his other friend's house, my other friend's house who is into the wine, and they'd already had some beers.
Yeah.
And they've been drinking most of the afternoon, I think. They went back to the wine connoisseur's house.
Yeah.
And the pissed guy who doesn't like the wine said, look, why don't you open a nice bottle of wine? Teach me about it.
Teach me about the wine.
It'd be nice. Yeah. It'd be interesting. And he was like, well, I don't know, because you know, you've already had a lot of drinks. You're probably not going to
enjoy it. Yeah.
No, just do it. So he opens up this really nice, expensive bottle of wine, right? He's saving it for a special occasion.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to open it, but he got convinced into doing so. He opened it, poured a couple of glasses and drank a bit of it and talked to him about it. I mean, he wasn't being a bore about it because the other guy had asked him, right? And the other guy took a swig and he went, what do you think? And he went, oh yeah, I just realised they had an extra strong mint on the way here.
That's from Sideways, where he goes, he's sort of like getting shown around a vineyard, and he's testing all his wines out, and his friend is got a chewing gum in.
Oh, you can't do that.
Are you chewing gum?
You can't do a chewing
that
gum.
That made me laugh in the cinema for about 20 minutes afterwards.
That was a
fantastic
weird film, wasn't
joke.
It? Wasn't it?
It was, was it?
It's got Paul Giamatti in it, right, who's amazing.
Not to get any fucking Marlowe.
Yeah, and he's in Billions as well. He's very good in that. With Ginger fella.
Yeah, it's Ginger.
Damian Lewis.
Right, okay.
But Sideways came kind of from nowhere. Was it like an independent-y-ish film being made? No one really expected it to do much. It was one of those films where nothing really happens. Yeah. It was more of a character study. It did really well. I enjoyed it. But
well,
it kind of came from nowhere.
I'm sure the director, the Oscars, was. I'm just glad that Lukey Moore enjoyed it.
I did. Well, that's what they're asking. And speaking of people being in the wars, my cat was in the wars last week as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he got in a ruck.
He brought
the motherfucking ruckus, as they say. Got a puncture wound, Pete.
Right.
And it turned into an abscess.
Oh, it got like infected and. Yeah. Oh, no.
So he had to have
no.
half his body shaved and have it drained.
They're so, I don't like abscesses, but it is spectacular when it and satisfying, I imagine, when one gets drained. Oh,
he's loving it now. He was very upset before.
Yeah, I cannot imagine how painful and debilitating and hot. I bet the skin's really hot.
Yeah. Ugh. And for a cat, it's interesting, right? And it's probably the same for a dog. They know they've got something wrong with them. And they know that you provide them with whatever they need usually.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they really don't want to go to the vet. They know what the carry case means.
Yes.
So they get confused.
Yeah.
They're upset.
Yeah.
But they definitely want to go to the vet under any circumstances.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, obviously I did take him to the vet. He doesn't get a say in it, really. We don't have a power about it. I just do it. When the vet called me, he was like, yeah, look, we're going to have to keep him in because he needs to be sedated.
Yeah.
Got him sedated. He was off his tits on ketamine for the rest of the night.
Ketamine.
It was basically walking around the flat, mouth slack jawed open, drooling, not knowing where he was going, like walking into things. And normally he gets really upset if he can't go outside.
Yeah.
So I shut the door and I thought it's going to be a terrible night because to keep him in overnight, I don't normally do that. I thought it's going to be terrible. He's going to be crying, scratching all the time. He had no idea what the door even was. he was just looking at it. Like it was some kind of Doors of Perception, Aldous Huxley type vibe. So yeah, he's fine now, thankfully, touch wood. But
for a bit, he was Sean Ryder.
Yeah, he was. It was like having Sean Ryder in the house with a mad haircut because of the side of his body's been completely shaved. But if someone turned up and didn't know us at that point and looked at us and maybe didn't speak our language, they'd go, what have you done to that fucking cat? What has happened? What are you living with? What's wrong with that cat? What have you done to it?
I encountered a cat over the weekend, and I don't normally. I don't normally partake, and I don't get upset if I see a cat. I like cats.
What is it about a cat that you don't trust, though?
Well, this one in particular, it takes the things I don't trust about cats to its logical conclusion in many ways.
Right.
This cat. I'm very allergic to cats. I'm unbelievably allergic. If a cat like shakes its fur at me in my eyes, I've just got a big face.
Where would that happen?
if I go to a cat strip club and if a cat does a provocative dance in my face, I don't know. No, but like it, this cat, so the dogs in the house, so I got in very well with the dogs, right, obviously. But this cat was one of the worst cats I've ever. I've encountered cats. My auntie's got cats. I like them. But this one, look, was the worst cat.
What was it doing?
It was honestly.
Trump.
Right,
it Trump.
Wouldn't let me. It wouldn't let me touch it. It wouldn't let me go near it. It would just constantly. Every time he went near. But then in the morning, it had the audacity to open the door, come in, sort of crawl on me a bit, and demand that I petted it. And when I didn't, when the 1 second in between.
You spent the night with it.
Honestly, this, I was stroking the cat with one hand and then the next, and then the other hand. And in between the one hand lifting off the cat, it would start to try and bite me because it was so angry that I'd stop like petting
it. That sounds amazing.
It was the worst cat, Luke. It was the worst.
Name and shame.
I can't remember the cat. Can't remember what name it was. It was a terrible cat.
No wonder he's pissed off. You don't just treat him for any respect. You don't even remember his name.
Well, the dogs were nice. But it was just, it's rare you sort of see an animal that's so angry at you.
Yeah.
It's just and so angry.
One of the things that people forget, I think, is that they think that dogs would easily rip. I mean, obviously, in the right circumstance, a dog is going to kill a cat. But a lot of dogs are terrified of cats.
Oh, this had a little French bulldog who was like, you know, he's all muscle and stuff. Yeah. He runs over to this little dog. This little cat, and this cat is and he is absolutely petrified.
Yeah, they make themselves big, weird with their tail, do a funny face, their ears go back. Look,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. But what was I going to say to you? Yeah, and so I had a cat with ketamine around my house the whole week, which is kind of weird. And then other than that, the weekend was fine, really. So what else did you get up to at the weekend?
I mean, there's reasons why I'm not very well. I drank a lot.
Just say you got pissed. Just come in and say, you said this morning, I've got an upset stomach, you know, I'm all right, I'll be fine. But just say you got pissed.
Well, no, but the problem is that Sunday was just me eating pizza and roast dinners. And that's what's caused the problem. It's not the
plural
booze.
Roast dinners. Well,
she does make enough for three people. It's delicious. She makes an excellent roast.
Did you go to a Toby Carvery this weekend?
But it was just like, but I have been drinking since Thursday, so that's probably not helped either. But yeah, all good. All good.
You're getting properly into your drinking again at the moment.
Oh, I'll get right back into it, mate. I've kind of left the Prosecco behind and I'm going back on the fizzy lagers. It's nice, good to be back.
Do you like anything that isn't fizzy?
No, I don't.
Is your pizza fizzy? Is that why it made you sick? You do get that with food that goes off a little bit, it starts to taste a bit fizzy.
Oh, anything fruity, anything vegetable-y that's a bit off, yeah, if you leave it on a radiator for long enough. It's anything creamy that's gone fizzy. You're like, oh,
I'm terrible at just picking the rotten bits of fruit out of the pack. So, for example, if it's blueberries, I'll just pick the furry ones out.
Yeah.
Give the others a rinse and eat it. And I can sometimes feel it in my stomach, making weird noises.
I did eat a whole pack of persimmons. That couldn't have helped.
I don't even know what a persimmon is.
It's like a fancy little berry wrapped in some waxy leaves. And it's they're all right. They're nothing to write home about, but they are quite affordable.
I have seen one. I didn't know that it was called that.
Or is it physalis? What's physalis?
Physalis is different, yeah.
Right, okay.
Physalis sounds like something you shouldn't really catch. But a persimmon looks more like an orange tomato. But
oh, you know what? I'm
sweeter.
Talking absolute shit. Yeah, no, it is physalis I had.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
The little
Where'd you get that from?
Things. Waitrose are only £1 for a box.
That's very good.
I was like, compared to their really expensive blueberries, that they have several different kinds of. Like, they're actually quite affordable.
Speaking of injuries and stuff, though, your upset stomach, my ankle. I was thinking on the way in, because this is what the Luke and Pete show does to you. I was thinking, if I had a really serious ankle injury and we were way back in kind of caveman times, that'd be fatal for
me, wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't better keep up with the pack. I wouldn't better get away from an animal hunting me.
Yeah, an abscess might grow.
Well, a lot of people died through tooth abscesses, didn't they?
Yeah, okay.
And if you had a stomach upset, they would have no idea what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So you might be in big trouble as well. You could just shit out. You could just die.
Dehydrate
yourself.
That's true.
That's what happens.
Oh, Luke, did you see DMX's funeral at the weekend?
I want to say that his coffin was on a monster truck.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Monster truck and then 1,000 fucking motorbike guys just cycling around.
What, the Hell's Angels type?
No, just cycling. Like, you know, just young lads on motorbikes, not cycling, motorcycling. Yeah. Some young lads on old...
Were they invited?
I don't know how they got everyone together. It looked amazing. And the monster truck looks fucking brilliant.
Do you reckon he asked for that?
He must have. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It looked fucking great. Can what
I,
a way to go.
Can I just say, if he didn't specifically ask for that, that's a low percentage play for his family. Do you know what I mean? If there's no instructions, keep it low key.
No, exactly.
Don't go monster truck. Would you like a monster truck for your coffee?
Well, it didn't look particularly controllable. Monster trucks, are, by their very nature, look quite bouncy, don't they?
Was there
bouncy,
anything bouncy. More? Was there anything more exciting as you, than when you were a kid as a monster truck?
No,
going over other cars.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I ever saw one in real life. We had motocross, and did we have all banger racing? I think I went to a banger racing meet somewhere.
Right. I mean, but for some reason, I feel like the amount of airtime on TV monster trucks were given in the 80s was disproportionate.
Yes, compared to how often you'd see them in real life. I mean, trucks are going that way anyway. You know, every fucker where I live has got almost a monster truck
no,
that they don't need.
A monster truck, to be a proper monster truck, right?
The wheels have to be bigger than the car.
It's got to have a couple of things. Yeah. It's got to have a wheel bigger than a person. Mm. And it's got to have like a shell of a normal car just stuck on top of it. Do you know what I mean? That's what they do, right?
Yeah.
And it's got to be able to go over lots of other cars.
To be honest, I think that a lot of cars are going that way. Like, a lot of Chelsea tractors look like that.
I also, thinking about it, I don't really know, looking back on it, how they judged it. Because they would
yeah, what's
drive,
the best? Yeah.
And I also think it was a little bit... So what they would try to do, they would try and go for like a sumo vibe. Do you remember sumo was really big in the 80s as well on TV, right? And sometimes you'd have like a really small sumo wrestler against a really big one, but no one would know why because no one really understood what the rules were.
Yeah.
And it seemed weird. It was the same with monster trucks. Sometimes you get like quite a small one.
Yeah, that's fair. That seems fair.
And what was the name of the really famous monster truck?
What?
There was a really famous one.
Truckzilla or something.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. Right. I'm going to find out. Because it was a really big thing back in the day.
I just remember it from The Simpsons.
Bigfoot and Gravedigger. They were the two big ones.
Bigfoot and Gravedigger. Were they UK based? Were they like kind of like UK versions of the American ones? Or
the two most famous monster trucks were Bigfoot and Gravedigger. Because they used to be designed.
Right. So it was a bit like wrestling. It was a bit like the superstar wrestling. You'd have you'd have a gimmick.
Yeah, very much so.
Right.
And then you sometimes the drivers would be like a bit of a heel with their overall.
I'm gonna run over these cars that someone has put down here for some fucking reason.
Yeah, and I, when I googled it, I also saw, you know, they have got these like suggested questions. Apparently, a lot of people have googled which is the best monster truck in the world.
Oh God!
What kind of day are you having if you're googling that? Imagine what you've done that day if that's what you're googling.
I mean, you've left yourself logged in. A 4-year-old has got on your computer and typed that in. For crying out loud!
I think it's a lot more of an innocent time, Pete.
What do you mean?
Monster trucks
ruled the drag racing, monster trucks,
and in the interval, and people who are younger than about 30, I don't know anything what we're talking about here, but when monster trucks used to be on TV...
The Royal Trucks, the band?
Yeah, they weren't involved. They weren't involved. But Pete, do you remember the halftime entertainment used to be, they would weight a monster truck on one side.
Right.
And because the tyres were so big and so soft, they would drive over someone. And you'd be like, how's a monster truck drive over someone?
Yes.
But it's obviously weighted, right?
Oh, so it's...
That was great stuff in the 80s.
That could go wrong at any moment and you know, smash a man's spine, surely.
Division of weight. But, I mean, I think that was a great thing.
Great times.
That was a great time. It was just a great Sunday afternoon. Monster trucks. America's Strongest Man. You know,
yes.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, World of Wrestling, all that stuff before that, like in the
80s. Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. Just fat men.
Just fat.
Did they have any technique? You're an expert. Did they have any technique?
No, very little. Big Daddy was one of the worst people you'd ever seen.
But no one cared. Why didn't anyone care?
Because back in the day, like seeing men of that height and that kind of width was just so, you just didn't, like strong men would be just guys who used to eat loads, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some wonderful... Mark from WrestleMania, an excellent kind of podcast, he gave me like a booklet of this kind of like, I think he's a Vice photographer who managed to get hold of a load of old negatives of like crowds in the 1980s and stuff.
Right.
And you kind of see that in Japan. You don't see it necessarily in America anymore, but wrestling pre-1980s, it was just dads, lads, old grannies. Old grandpas, they've been watching it for 100 years.
Why
it's
they
incredible.
Love it? Why do old women love it so much?
I don't know. It was just one of those, because you'd always like see an old granny get in the ring and hit the one.
I thought that was a plant, though.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. Sometimes they'd get really into it. Yeah. I just think it was one of the things that post-war just really captured the imagination, and it was just all very carny.
Oh,
we need more fighting
after the war. We haven't had enough. We need more fighting.
I love it. Honestly. Yeah. All right then. Shall we take a short ad break?
Let's have a break. All right. And then when we come back, we'll do some emails, I think. We had some good ones this week.
Lovely.
And it's very much something to look forward to. But in the meantime, if you do have any stories to tell about monster trucks, I'll tell you what I would love. If someone listens to this show whose dad had some kind of monster truck, is that too ambitious for me to ask my listenership?
I mean, you'd know whether your dad had one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you
wouldn't need to ask him. You'd go, Dad, have you ever owned a monster truck?
Get in touch. Get in touch. We'll see you a little bit after this.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with seven decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. It was getting quite sad for that. We're going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. What's the biggest thing your dad's ever owned? Let us know.
That's a great question. What would be the biggest thing your dad's ever owned?
Snooker table.
Yeah, same.
Put it in the front room.
Same.
Too big for some pub was throwing it out and he put a full-sized billiard snooker table in the front room.
Yeah.
Too big.
Nice.
You literally
couldn't get around it.
Couldn't get around it. Same with
me.
You had to sort of put a... You had to put your pull cue, kind
up
of vertical. So yeah. It just didn't make any sense.
Exactly the same thing happened to us. Mm. What is, in our family, what is... And I'm going to tell you a story about a snooker table in a minute. Mm. What is our family thinking? And it's the dad, let's be fair.
It's the dad, yeah.
Yeah. The dad has probably convinced the mum... If your family's anything like mine, my dad would have convinced my mum over a period of months to allow a snooker table to be bought of a good size, right? And what my dad did is he got his feet wet by getting a dartboard and putting it up in the garden. That's your gateway drug, right? And we had a great time playing darts out in the back garden with that. Well protected with those terraced houses around, no wind, so you can have a good old game of darts. He could have his old have his mates from the neighbourhood around, have a few beers, we could all play. Yeah. That's how he's got his feet wet. He's then agreed to buy us, to buy me, a kind of 6 or 7 foot by 4 foot snooker table, which we had to store down the side of my bed, my bunk bed in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And it went almost the length of the bedroom.
And it was such a pain to get out again.
Terrible. Yep. It had no legs, right? So you had to put it on the co-opted dining table to use it. And you're right, you couldn't get the snooker cue around it.
Yeah.
So there was actually no physical way of effectively playing it
properly. That's, yeah.
What are they thinking?
He's thinking snooker.
He's thinking if
I'm snooker loopy, mate.
He's thinking if she lets me get away with this, I'm going to get a monster truck. But Pete, listen, I did a little sweepstake for the World Snooker Championship a few years ago, and with a couple of my aforementioned friends about the wine, and the one who had the extra strong mint, my mate Jimmy, who you've met, he won it, right? And I said to them, "We'll do a sweepstake, and everyone puts a fiver in, and you get to pick out a couple of players or whatever. But also, I'll put on a prize, right? And my mate Jimmy's an absolute gannet for free stuff, right?
Right.
He hates putting his hand in his pocket, all the rest of it. So he got well into this, and he won. And the prize I bought him was a quite big, like 8-foot-long snooker table, right? Which is way too big for his house. But because he's so polite, he couldn't turn it down.
Yeah,
he just went through the motions. I'm really grateful for it, right? He couldn't even get it in his house. He had to sit in the front garden for ages. And because it's such a generous gift, what I was thinking was, what's the biggest prize I can get him for the money I want to spend that's going to inconvenience him so much, because I knew he'd be so polite not to complain about it. And he moved house about 6 months ago, and I think he's metaphorically swept it under the carpet and just left it there.
Is this under the carpet?
Yeah. I might have to ask you about it in the near future and say, yeah, how are you getting on with your snooker table, to see what he says to squirm out of it. But he couldn't even get it in his house. And do you know how much you can pay for like a proper one? They're like...
$5,000 minimum?
Those ones they use at the World Snooker Championship, which is happening at the moment, I think they're like $100,000 or something.
Really?
I think they're really expensive.
I bet. Can you imagine
It's the
how
slate, I think.
Precise.
I think it's the slate.
What's the slate?
It's played on a slate, isn't it? With the felt over the top of it.
Oh, is that what that's
I think it's one long big bit of slate.
Oh, that's expensive.
Well, I think so, yeah.
And very durable if you want to make a roof out of it.
How do they get it in the crucible?
How do they dig out a big bit of slate without breaking it? That's what I want to know.
So many questions. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com if you've got answers to any of those questions. Or, as I mentioned before the break, your dad owned a monster truck. There must be one of you out there. I know it's an American thing generally, but...
Yeah, you notice how I've sort of unpicked the carton of Vita Coco coconut water, so it's kind of represents like a space drink.
Yeah,
the sort of drink you would have in space. I made it really difficult to drink, but I watched a film about space last night, and
while you were sick,
before I was sick, pre-sick.
Oh, pre-sick. Yeah. All right. Maybe you got motion sickness from watching the film. I didn't even look twice at that Vita Coco. I thought it was just a thing for your stomach. I thought it was like
medicine.
What's it called, that stuff that people drink? Milk and magnesium.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com for your emails, and at lukeandpeteshow for your tweets and Instagrams. Everyone's been back to the pub as well now, by the way, so maybe everyone can start falling in love with beer types again. The best place and time to have a pint, maybe, post-lockdown. Fergus Instagrammed us and said that we didn't mention back in the day when we were talking about our favourite types of beer, the post-lawn mowing beer.
Oh.
You love a bit of lawn mowing, don't you?
I like a bit of lawn mowing, and it takes... The more that I've got is genuinely very good.
Do people get into that, though? I think... Do dads get into that?
Into mowing?
Like lawn mowers, like good ones you can get and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess if you're buying anything that's got an engine in it, men will find some way of being stupid about it.
Being boring about it, yeah.
But I think the lawnmower we've got, it just clears out the whole thing. And people sort of say with small gardens you should use a trimmer, but just like...
Oh, so,
just
is that right? Is that
strimmer, just use a strimmer. But like, it picks all the crap up for you and it's just over in seconds.
Yeah.
And you've retained all of the oil, the petrol.
I told you about the Ryden one that LC lets me use when I go to the US.
Yes, lovely.
Flex the leaves as well.
Is that automatic? Has that got gears?
It has got gears, but just forward and reverse.
Right. Okay. Nice.
She's a bit of a she's a bit of a cantankerous old beast as well. So you got to know her little kind of foibles.
Quirks, right.
It's quite an old sit-on-my thing. It's what the kind of thing that LC, you can imagine this, Pete, because you've met him.
Mm.
Like, I'll be doing the lawnmower and I'm in the middle of the lawn, 100 meters away or whatever, and it'll stop working.
Yeah.
And he'll come running over, look at it, bang it on one side, kick it on the other side, and go, it should be fine now, and it is fine. It's like one of those things. Anyway, yeah, lawnmower beard. Post lawnmower beard. I can see that. Sweaty, got a bit, caught the sun a bit.
Feel like you've done something.
Yeah, have a bit of a sit down, have a refreshing can of...
Vita Coco.
Vita Coco. Other coconut waters are available.
Squish the carton and it makes you feel like you're having space food.
Is there any alcoholic coconut waters around these days?
I don't know. You probably imagine for the kids.
In America, they call cider is just apple juice. You know that?
Yeah, okay.
They called actual cider, what we would call cider, hard cider.
Hard cider, yeah. Right, okay.
Because I remember being, when Mimi was still living in the US, I remember her Instagram storying or something, her at a little festival, food festival with her family at like 8 a.m. and having with a big thing that says cider on it on the go. I was like, she's not much of a drinker. That's really surprising she's doing that. Anyway, so I've got an email here from Will who says, good day, gentlemen. On hearing you guys talk about the ska punk banger Sugar in Your Gas Tank, that would have been you, Peter, wouldn't it?
Probably. It sounds like something I'd do.
I thought I'd let you know it was by Less Than Jake.
Oh, was it? Right, okay.
Maybe you said it was Real Big Fish or something like that. I'm not sure.
The last band I saw, Less Than Jake, depressingly, last year.
Less Than Enjoyable, or was it all right?
No, it was excellent. Good. It was wonderful.
They're a Fat Records band?
I think they did release some things on Fat Record. I want to say they released Quivy on Interscope, but I might be wrong on that one. Probably okay. Am. Roadrunner, maybe? Don't know, doesn't matter.
Roadrunner's heavy metal, though, isn't it?
They'll release anyone.
Will they?
Sure, they?
Get in touch if you're listening to Roadrunner. We put a
couple of podcasts out.
Yeah. Will says, it also allowed me to think of a terrible segue into sending a picture that I thought you might appreciate. We had some insane sandstorms in Beijing a few weeks ago.
Oof.
With the AQI reading over 9,000. I don't know what the AQI is. You want to check that out, Pete, while I'm
AQI.
Doing it.
AQI. Actual... it's got to be quality air quality indicator.
Yeah, nice.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Over 9,000, that sounds good. he said, for reference, the town I'm from in Surrey was reading 12 that day, and London, known for its poor air quality, of course, was 70.
Right, and they're at what?
9,000.
Yeah, you don't want asthma, do you?
That's just breathing in solids. Sure, yeah. That's like breathing in a concrete block.
It's eating butter.
He says, no one was complaining about wearing a mask this day, I promise you that. I can only imagine that, Will. That sounds awful, and I'm very pleased you survived to tell the tale.
Did you get any sand in your britches?
Would have done, probably.
Mm.
Sand in your sandwiches.
Yeah.
I don't really. That's part of the reason I don't really like the beach. Just sand everywhere.
Sand everywhere.
I feel like I'm in the minority of not liking the beach.
Yeah, I just don't find it as sexy as... people find it. They find it like quite sexy to wear your swimsuit and be sexy.
Quite 80s, isn't
it? But I don't feel sexy.
It's like an 80s idea of what it would be like to be sexy. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just everything tastes of sun cream and you're just a bit too hot. And if you don't have a pool to sort of jump in or a sea, it's actually just quite overpowering.
Do you know anyone who won't put sun cream on because it makes them squeamish? Because I know someone who won't do it.
It makes them squeamish.
They won't have sun cream on them because they don't like the way it feels.
No, I don't know.
They would rather be sunburned. In fact, right. I've seen them sunburned.
Right.
Rather than put sun cream on.
Do they use like parasols and hats and stuff to get around it?
No, this same person I'm talking about also has a very strict no accoutrement at all policy. We'll never wear hats, sunglasses, slippers, anything like that.
They're at the elements. They're in the elements.
It's weird though.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. Yeah, you've got to look after yourself when it comes to the skins.
As you get older.
Yeah.
As you get older, for sure. All right, that's it, Pete. Have you got an email? Or do you want me to do another one?
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah, sods. A parrot, Luke, loves the show.
Oh, I heard about this.
I mean, amazing. Apparently, I was chilling and listening to some podcasts. This is Eric with my parrot, Captain Crunch. We call him Captain for short.
Great name.
Great name. Some Vice podcast was playing and he's totally ignoring it. And then as soon as the Luke and Pete show came on, he started talking and whispering along.
It's brilliant. And the only regret I've got about this email is that Eric attached a couple of photos of Captain Crunch.
Mm.
But they didn't work. So I can't see what kind of parrot it is. Is it a macaw? Is it like a more of a parakeet? Is it a, you
know? It's a straight parrot, surely.
But I think that's an anomaly. Isn't that like a little bit of a misconception?
What?
That you just say a parrot, aren't they? Isn't it just, aren't they just...
Oh, is it? Right, okay. I thought parrots were like your normal kind of red, blue, yellow.
Nah. Guess how many species of parrot there are?
Right. If I look at your computer, we're in the same room now. If I look at your computer, if I see a parrot on your computer, I'm going to be fuming.
I've just Googled it
That's
for you.
That's a parrot.
390 different types. I need to know more. I need to know more.
Give us the type of parrot, if that's all right, Eric.
Yeah.
You have some aviator fans. Now you have an avian fan.
Very that works. Nice.
Apparently, Captain Crunch was just laughing every time we laughed.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that we've heard stories of dogs like being into the show and all the rest of it. I like it. I like that. And
as soon as they can spend some money on advertising. The parrots, the parrot community. We might start running parrot adverts.
Can I ask a question of the woke representative of the show, which is you?
If you want to use the word woke and expose yourself as one of those kind of people.
Well, I don't know what else to say. What should I say?
Just call me Woolly.
Okay. Okay.
Needlessly Woolly.
You are
needlessly worried.
You are a disgusting liver. A lily-livered, sandal-wearing, mung-bean-chewing disgrace.
And yet I will say something in my future that will get me cancelled anyway.
Yes, it will. You've already said something in the past that's going to get cancelled. When people remember.
Dig it out.
Loads of them.
Yeah.
And I'm the same. I just want to ask you if keeping a parrot in captivity is cruel. Is it seen as cruel these days?
I think people are quite clear on that one. I don't know.
But maybe
Captain Crunch gets to fly around all over the gaff.
We need to know
he
more
might just return.
It. Mm. Yeah, Eric, we've just besmirched your good reputation there. I'm sure the parrot has a lovely life, but we'd like to see a picture of him that actually works.
Certainly enriched, though. His life is certainly enriched by our podcast.
Could we have him in on Pete's shoulder for an entire episode?
Yes, please.
Would you be comfortable with that, Pete?
I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Since I got a dog, I don't care about animal fluids anymore.
Little guano receptacle underneath him for the show, so he doesn't get all over your nice cardigan.
Yeah, nice.
That'd be fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Eric. Pete, how long have we been doing the show for? I can't see the time.
We're out of here. They've had enough, to be quite frank, and we've had enough.
And we're bang on 30 minutes. What a great shout.
Yeah, I know.
That was my internal clock thinking that.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right, thank you very much for listening to today's show, and I hope you had a lovely Monday, and this has gone some way towards brightening it up. We'll be back on Thursday with more of this. We'll also do some of your battery brands. We'd like to hear from you on hello@lukeandpeteshow.com on the email or at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram about the largest thing your dad's owned. Any kind of more dad behaviour. Don't talk to me about snooker tables. That'll be a good one. Some people must have a good snooker table. Like those. I'm not talking about that 80s story of people having sex on snooker tables.
Oh.
That was what happened all the time in the 80s.
Yeah.
If you believe the TV shows of that time.
You believe Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, 90% of all sexual intercourse happened on a snooker table.
Yeah, and the woman has to be wearing stilettos.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Red Shoe Diaries with David Duchovny with Vish just before a Ramble record last week. And he was saying that he wondered why David Duchovny in that TV show always had a dog with him. He did always have a dog.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't really remember it.
Well, he was kind of like, he was like this, was he he was the narrator sort of thing.
He didn't
get involved with the sex. He just sort of like.
He was in it.
He was in it, but he wasn't ever getting sexy with anyone.
But he's the most handsome part of it.
He linked everything together.
All right. If you've got any more insight into the Red Shoe Diaries and you're listening, give us an email. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this nonsense. Have a lovely week. We look forward to speaking to you then. Take it easy. Look after yourselves and each other. We'll see you soon.
Vita Coco.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.